Thank you. Welcome. Welcome to Grace Point. We're glad you're here. I don't know. Do I need to announce VBS starts tomorrow? We're excited about Vacation Bible School at Grace Point. It's always a great time. It's going to be the best we've ever had. I'm confident of it. You just see so much has been put into the stage design, decorations in the lobby, and so much has already been, time has been invested. We have more kids than we've ever had that have signed up, and more volunteers than we've ever had, so we're grateful. I want to mention some that have helped even prior to. You know, tomorrow we have a lot of volunteers coming and helping, but as far as all the stage decorations and the lobby and everything, there's some people who really invested a lot of time into putting this together, so I want to recognize them. First of all, Taryn and Jeremy Wilson, who every year they always go the extra mile. They always go the extra mile. Linda Hayes, Ashley Bright, Holly Stoof, Amy Chambers, Melissa Howe, Jacob Dixon, the whole Temple family, the whole Dorman family, the whole Roscoe family, and the whole Henson family. So let's just say thank you to all of those who've done so much that have... just amazing. It's amazing what they have done here. So I'm so thankful. We're excited. We're going to have a great week at Vacation Bible School. They're going to be learning a lot of different biblical truths you can see here. And we always have fun and love this time and large group opening. I love that time with the kids. I bought a potato launcher last week. Just want you to know that. Let me tell you, we have some, it doesn't have anything to do with Jesus or the Bible. It's just a potato launcher. The kids love that stuff. Tried it out yesterday, and it actually shoots flames out of the launcher. So my wife said, you cannot take that to Vacation Bible School. She's such a killjoy. So your children will be safe. Don't worry. Today's Father's Day, so we're glad you're here. Dads, especially celebrating Father's Day and kind of starting off the day, so to speak, with being in church. And I'm thankful that you're here. We celebrate fathers, of course, today. I'm grateful for all that are here. I know you're celebrating your dads. And I also, just like at Mother's Day, though, I also do, while we celebrate, I want to do that. I also remember the number of people who it might be kind of a hard day because maybe they lost their dad. I know some within this church have lost their dad in the last year or two or three. Could have even been a long time ago, and it just kind of is a difficult day. There can be other circumstances that cause it to be a difficult day. So I want to remember everyone as we celebrate fathers today and those that might be having a bit of a hard time also. So let's pray together and just ask the Lord. Will you pray with me? Let's just ask the Lord just to meet us right where we're at, wherever you are in that, that the Lord will meet us there and just provide, you know, what we need. So thank you, Father, for this day that you've made that we can rejoice and be glad in it. We're grateful, Lord, for these dads, these fathers that are here today, Lord, for their faithfulness and their commitment. I pray, Lord, you continue to empower us as dads and leaders of our families to lead well, to lead in a way that would first and foremost, that would honor you and be pleasing to you, and that would bless our family, our wives, and our children, Father. So just we recognize our need for you and your word that we cannot do it well in our own strength. And so we're here today just recognizing that and just admitting again our need for you. So thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness. Thank you for the people here today, Lord, and for so many that have invested so much already in Vacation Bible School, these names that I've called and others that have invested so much. We're excited about what lies ahead and the opportunity to point these children to you and hear the good news of the gospel. Thank you for that. Bless this service, this time, this teaching. I pray give us ears to hear and hearts to be doers of your word. In Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen. All right, this morning, James 1, 25. Really this week and next week, we're going to draw things to a close. So I've really bracketed James 1:19 through verse 25 and taken more time on that purposefully because this is kind of the heart of what James is going after here, is that not to just be a hearer, but to be a doer of God's word. And so we've stepped down on this a little bit more than maybe some others. So after next week, I'll probably hit the gas pedal, so to speak, and start going a lot faster and taking bigger sections of James. But I really feel like we have to finish some work here in verse 25 and talk specifically about persevering and being able to persevere from hearers to doers of the word. So if you have your Bibles, we're going to go James. We're going to focus on James verse 25, but I want to just read. I'm going to start 22 just for context again. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourself. So we talked about that, all right? Deceiving ourselves that we're just listening and thinking that's going to impact us, all right? That's going to grow us. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror. For he looks at himself and goes away and at once forgets what he was like. But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty. So we talked about that last week, the Bible. Perfect, we talked about that last week. Law of liberty, so it sets us free and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets but a doer who acts. So that's the perseverance part. Moving from a hearer who forgets to a doer who acts. You need perseverance to get there, to go from what you hear me say and teach today, what God speaks to you about, to the parking lot, to home, to the work, wherever you have to persevere to get there. It's not just going to happen. You have to be intentional to get there, to be doer word. Once you do that, a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing. So that's where we want to be. So I want to focus on this one word, perseveres. All right, so if you're taking notes, takeaway number one, kind of part two, don't quit on God. So this is a continuation of last week, part two. You have to choose to persevere, to be doers of the word. Now there's more than five, but I'm taking five areas, disciplines of our faith, that we must become doers of the word and we must persevere. We must be intentional to have these disciplines in our life, not just to be listeners, but to be doers of these five things that I think are just foundational for us as believers. Let me give you a definition of perseverance if you're taking notes. Perseverance is a continued effort to do or achieve something despite difficulties, failure, or opposition. We will encounter all of those as we come to the Bible and as we persevere and seek to do the things that God wants us to do. We're going to encounter those. So we have to persevere, have this continued effort, right, to carry out these disciplines of the faith. Let me give you two today. There's five, three next week, two today. All right, number one, first is we must persevere in reading, and specifically reading the Word of God. And the second one we're going to talk about in just a minute is attending. Talking about corporate worship, okay? These two disciplines, they're part of our vision, all right, of the way we see the vision fulfilled, is to have these disciplines present in our life. Reading, first of all, reading the Word of God. We talked about this last week. There's no way we're going to be doers of the Word if we're not reading and listening and sitting under the teaching of God's Word. Whether it's here, listening in small group, listening to preachers on the radio, TV, or whatever it is, we must position ourselves to be hearing, listening, and also reading the Word of God. That's where it begins, okay? Then it begins, we want to then affect how we do parenting, how we do marriage, how we do our finances, how we do problems, right? That flows from God's Word then into our life and then impacts how we do life, right? Let me show you Joshua 1:8. Listen to this. This book of the law, talking about the Bible again, shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night. So that, and this is long before James was talking about being a doer of the word, Joshua, he gets it. So that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. So he didn't just say, just meditate on it. Meditate on it so you can be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then, here's the result, James 1:25 says, you'll be blessed. Joshua's saying it. For then, after you've meditated and done the word of God, you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Now, verse 9, and sometimes we pull these separately and take them out of, I think they can stand on their own, but I think you have to put them together to get the fullness of it, because I think what he's saying is, as you meditate on the word of God, and then do the word of God, you are going to be strong and courageous. He says, have I not commanded you? Okay, you know this. He's spoken it to you from the Word. Now you're going to do this, right? Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened and do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. So as I begin to meditate on God's Word day and night, so the idea is it's a part of my life. It's not just a Sunday thing, listening and leaving. I'm meditating on the Word. As I'm doing the Word of God, then I'm going to experience this right here. Strong, courageous, not dismayed, because I know God is with me wherever I go. Therefore, it impacts how I do life, how I face problems, how I work through marriage difficulties, how I walk through difficult times. Because I've meditated, I'm doing it, and then this is the result. Just like James 1:25, it says, you will be blessed as you do the Word of God. In the back, I teach from the ESV Bible, and I like the ESV and the way it translates things, but the very back, I've read through the back, and there's a lot of notes in the back, and this is from the back of the ESV Bible. Knowledge without devotion is cold, dead orthodoxy. I think devotion is action. Devotion without knowledge is irrational instability. But true knowledge of God includes understanding everything from His perspective. Now that's what the Bible helps you do, is to see things from God's perspective. Theology is learning to think God's thoughts. It is to learn what God loves and hates and to see, hear, think, and act the way that He does. So that flows, that starts when we are reading the Word of God, and it's a consistent thing. Is we're going to talk now, just a minute. You don't want to get out of the habit of that. It's easy to get out of the habit of that. And so when I talk about like constantly meditating, reading the Word of God, even if you're reading a daily devotional that's just one page and maybe it's got a scripture, it's got a devotional thought, it's got a question or two at the bottom, that you're consistently doing even something like that. I'm not saying you necessarily have to come to the Bible and do an in-depth Bible study for an hour every day. Yeah, that's great if you can do that. Most people, that's not the way it works. But so you're reading the Word every single day. You've developed that discipline. You understand the importance. You've been here this morning. You cover the two I'm talking about, reading and attending. So both of those, you got that covered, right? But it's a daily thing. It's an ongoing thing. So we're making time to read the Word of God, to sit under the teaching of the Word of God. Now, we want to persevere in doing that, okay? If we're not intentional, persevere through it, push through it, even when you don't feel like it. If we don't do that, then we get into the habit of not doing it, which is what he's going to talk about here with about attending. So the second one is attending. So we're reading the Word of God, then we could say attending. We have to persevere in attending the church of God. Now, here's what I want to say about this. A couple things. First of all, So preaching on this right now to you is kind of like the phrase you've probably heard, preaching to the choir, right? So preaching to the choir basically means I'm preaching to a group of people that are already doing what I'm telling them they're supposed to be doing. So I'm going to spend the next few minutes talking to you about the importance of being in church every week. And here you are, okay? So I want it to be then affirmation and encouragement, right, hopefully to those. I think we push it out through social media, the messages, so maybe it can be hopefully challenging, encouraging to those who are hearing it through a social media site or the website or whatever it may be. So I also want you to know that when I teach through disciplines of faith or anything, right, but as I'm teaching through, I'm going to teach through some disciplines that are somewhat challenging, I think. Just like attending. The last thing you want is a pastor that would stand up here and go, hey, you know what? Whenever you can, come to church. Right? Hey, I don't care. If you can't make it this summer, no big deal. It's okay. You just come when you can. Matter of fact, come when it works into your schedule. I mean, come on. You don't want a pastor like that. Surely you want a pastor that says lovingly, here's the standard, my friends. And I love you enough to tell you as your pastor, this is what God's calling us to. At the end of the day, man, it's going to be between you and God. We don't take attendance. I mean, I do by the way, places you sit. But other than that, we don't take attendance. But that ultimately is between you and God. But I believe that the Bible teaches that God's way, even the hard stuff, right? That God's way, this is the way, walk in it. This will lead us to the greatest joy, purpose, fulfillment this side of heaven. What God's word tells us to do. Even sometimes when we fight against it and we push back against it. This is what the Bible teaches. And so we want to develop this habit in our life. So we're talking about attending today. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24. Persevering in attendance, all right, to corporate worship. Here's what he says, okay? In Hebrews 10, 24, and let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works. Okay, that's a whole nother sermon, but just think about that. If we're going to spend time thinking about how to encourage each other to love one another and do good works. But the focus here on this one is verse 25, not neglecting to meet together as is the habit of some. So it's easy to fall in that habit for all of us, right? For all of us. It's easy to fall into that habit. But encouraging one another, I think one of the things he's saying here is the way that you encourage is to the opposite of what those who develop the habit of not coming, which is to come. So, but encouraging one another, that's one of the ways, by coming to worship. And all the more as you see the day drawing near. So when we talk about attending church, I firmly believe that we should be in church every single week. Every single week. Now, I understand also that there are things that, you travel for different reasons, you know. You're sick, work. I get that there's things like that, and I get that. You know, that's going to happen. I get that. But when those things aren't pressing on us, that's when we need to fight for this discipline of being in church. There are some, you've probably heard of Keystone Habits. But let me talk to you about that for just a minute. So Keystone Habits are they're simple but catalytic habits or routines that you start. Let's say habits. Catalytic habits that you start that lead to other positive, productive things in your life. That's a keystone habit. So let's say, I'll give you an example. So a couple years ago, I'm at the doctor and she says, okay, you have got to stop drinking 10 Dr. Peppers a day. Okay, and drinking 5-hour energy. So you cannot stay healthy and do that. And I said, mind your own business. And no, I didn't say that. I said, okay, you're probably right. I said, what do you suggest? Right? She said, you have got to start drinking more water. Start drinking more water. It's good for your body. She gave me the whole thing, blah, 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 you know. And I understand that. I didn't want to be a doer of the word there, but I understand it. And so I decided, a keystone habit, all right, to start drinking more water. So when I started drinking more water as a kind of a keystone habit, the other positives were, obviously, I stopped drinking. I drank much less soda. Stop drinking soda. It's been 2 years. Like I do every once in a while, but not near the amount that I used to because I started drinking more water. Now, some people, they start drinking more water and it leads to, they then may start making better food choices. And then as they start making better food choices and drinking water, they start feeling better. They decide that they're going to exercise and they start exercising. So that keystone habit, it's catalytic and it led to other positive things. Okay. If you decide, you know what, I'm going to make sure I have the habit of sleeping 8 hours every night. Okay. And if you develop that habit, that would be a keystone habit. So as you develop that habit, it benefits you in other positive ways during the day. You have more energy. on the next day. You're more productive. Maybe you're focused more. Maybe you're more patient. Maybe there's a lot of positive things that it leads to. That's called the keystone habit. So I say that to say this. Worship, corporate worship, is a keystone habit. That when you have this discipline in your life, it leads to many other positive things. Even as you leave this place and as you do the Word of God. But even as you come here, okay? So I want to give you, I'm going to go fairly quickly, not on the outline, not on the screen. I'm going to give you seven reasons why we should be involved in corporate worship, but I think also the benefits, like kind of the keystone, what results from us making the decision to come and worship. Now, there's many more than seven, and there's probably some. I just took seven. I can write, 20 or 30. You can write a lot more. But this just gives you the idea of how reasons why we need corporate worship. First of all is this. You need the church. And the church needs you. You need the church. And the church needs you. I start there. Now, here's the next one. That was just an added one. So this is the first one. First and foremost, corporate worship consistently should remind us once again of the truth of the gospel. It's easy to forget that. But as you study the scriptures and you study the New Testament and you study Paul, he keeps coming back to the gospel. And he said, don't forget, Jesus said, Lord's Supper, do this in remembrance of me, who he is, what he did. It's the gospel message. We talk about being gospel-centered. We don't want to forget the truth of the gospel and go on about our life. And so we come here on a Sunday morning, and it reminds us of the truth of the gospel, reminds us of the goodness of God to us in Jesus, and our responsive worship back to him. And it reminds us as we come here too, the gospel also reminds us that we need Jesus, just like unto salvation, right? But to live then, I said last week, I think, that Jesus saves us to eternal life, and he also saves us to abundant life. And we need him. Now, whole nother sermon, I'm not going to preach it, but it's really been on my mind. I might preach it next week, I don't know. But when James says blessing, when he says you will be blessed, sometimes I think we misidentify what that looks like or what that's supposed to be, what blessing really is. Okay, so we'll talk about that in the next couple of weeks. Certainly, I think it is goodness in Christ, but I think it's probably more internal than it is external. So it reminds us once again of the gospel, the goodness of God to us in Jesus, our response to worship back to him, right? So our need for him. Number two, it's the one opportunity we have every week to gather together with others that are like-minded about Jesus and express our worship to him and our gratitude for him. Okay? Now, you might be able to do that in small group. That's good, too. All right? When I say it's the only or one, there might be others. But as we come together corporately together, right, with other believers, there is something that is powerful about that, that empowers us, right? As we come together and we realize that we are not alone. And we need that. We need that encouragement as we go out into this world. Because sometimes out in this world, we feel that. Especially if we're in contacts where we're there's not other believers maybe where we work. And we have that sense of. And so we need to come together, right? With others that are like-minded. And first and foremost, to be able to worship God together. Number three, it renews our soul and empowers us to live in this world, but not of it. As we sing praises to God, as we hear the teaching of his word, we are encouraged as we come together to sing together and to hear the teaching. The community of believers renews our soul and empowers us. God ultimately does that. But what I'm saying is we draw that from others also through the teaching of the word. Number four, it renews our hope every week. It renews our hope every week in believing that God will provide all I need, everything I need to walk through any valley, climb any mountain, overcome any obstacle. That is before me. We all need that. You know what we all, every week you need to hear me say, man, no matter what you're going through, I want you to know, based on the truth of God's word, I want you to know, no matter what is facing you, there is hope. Amen? That we need to hear that. I mean, I don't think anybody else is yelling that at you during the week. And we forget that, you know, because our problems just kind of overcome us. And so we come together corporately to worship, to be reminded, first and foremost, of who God is that we worship, right? And our worship and our praise is to God. And in doing so, it reminds us that there is hope. And I think we need to hear that every single week. It renews our souls and empowers us to live in this world, but not of us. It renews our hope every week and believing God will provide all that I need. Number five, it provides each of us an opportunity to encourage others by your presence, by your words, and by your worship. It provides us an opportunity to encourage others. Okay, so I truly believe that, and if we were to go to Acts chapter 2, verse 42 through 47, it talks about how they met together daily and how they're meeting the needs of each other. I truly believe that as you come together, as we come together, right, you are encouraging each other. You're encouraging me. Look, 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 listen. I like you. I like to see you every week. It is encouraging to me. It's not the reason you come, ultimately. It's encouraging to me. You encourage other people that are here by you coming. You do. And you may not even realize that. But you encourage others by your presence. We talked about Keystone Habits. So Keystone Habits for me is, for us as parents, is when we make corporate worship the Keystone Habit and our kids are over in the preschool children wing over there, my choice to develop this Keystone Habit then triggers something positive in their life as they are over there hearing these lessons and these teachings about Jesus in their young little hearts that's pressing them and starting to form and shape them that started when I, as a parent, had the Keystone Habit to be in corporate worship every week. See how it then does something positive in their heart. So it's encouraging when we come. You encouraging people when you're seeing people before and after the service and during the greeting time and you're encouraging people. Because here's what we know. Everybody knows this, right? You all know this. I'm telling you stuff you already know. But we all know that in the course of three services especially, not everybody who's here today is doing well. No. No. Some people in all three services, guaranteed, are struggling. Some struggling deeply. You know, when we did that series last September, we found that, you know, even more so. Right? Some are struggling in marriage situations. Some are struggling physically. Some are struggling maybe emotionally. Some are battling anxiety. Some are dealing with fear. Some lost their job. Some may have just split in their marriage. Some... Yeah, I mean, there's all kinds of stuff that happens, right? You know what? Because we're imperfect people, man. It's not a perfect church. And let me say this, and truly, I'm not saying this like reactionary or anything. It just came to my mind. I say it in Grace Point 101, because we're not a perfect church. My heart is that you are involved in weekly worship somewhere. Obviously, I want it to be here. I mean, yes, I want you at Grace Point. But here's what I say at Grace Point 101 and to last week. I say it every time. Listen, I know that Grace Point is not for everybody. I get that. Now, you asked me that 20 years ago when I started ministry, I'd say, what's your problem? You got a problem with me? I mean, I'm great, you know, type of thing. You're like, I can't believe you wouldn't want to join my church. But God has matured me, you know, over the years. And I realized, you know what? And when I started Grace Point, that's kind of how the kind of thing I said, look, this is who we are. We're not for everybody. I mean, some people come in and go, man, that dude just yells way too much, man. I can't take that every week. Or why don't we sing these songs? Or why do we sing those songs? Or why didn't we do this? Or why didn't we think, and why didn't they, is this not important? Is that not, and I get that. Right? So we're not for everybody, but we are for, God has us here for somebody, for people, group that he's called us to reach. But here's the other thing, and please, don't take this wrong. The beautiful thing about this is there are some amazing Bible-believing churches within a, you know, 2-mile drive, right? 5 miles, go 10 miles out, man. It's awesome. So the thing is to be involved in a local church. You need that. You need that corporate worship. Whether it's a Grace Point church or whether it's another church. You know, my heart is for you to be engaged, involved in corporate worship every single week. Wherever it is that God leads you to do that, right? Because it's so vital and so important. It can encourage you, and you also encourage other people. Like I said, when you're greeting people, I started this by saying, you know, not everybody's doing well. You know that. And we don't necessarily know because they share that. I mean, very few, obviously, you know, it's not necessarily the context on Sunday morning. When you ask somebody how they're doing, they're going to tell you everything they're struggling with, right? They're going to usually say everything's fine when we know it may not be. Okay, now I'm not saying you need to analyze every person that says that, but what I am saying is that sometimes you don't know how far. It's good to see you. Good to see you, man. Good to see you today. Glad you're here. Or the hug, what you just never, and I've heard story after story after story of the impact those simple things have. And for some people, it's just them leaving, and you greeted them, you said hi to them around you or whatever, and you know what? It's just them leaving and saying, you know what? Somebody noticed me today. That's what I needed. Somebody noticed me. So we need that to minister to others and then to draw from others, and we get that when we come together. We come together as a community of believers every week. Number six, it provides us an opportunity to grow in the knowledge of God so we can become doers of the word, which we're talking about in James 1. Number seven, last one, it provides an opportunity for us to use our spiritual gifts to build up the body and find joy in doing so. Okay, I'm gonna land the plane so you get to Father's Day lunch ahead of the Methodist people. So our spiritual gifts, the Bible's clear, 1 Peter, Corinthians, other. That this, as you surrender your life to Christ, God gives you spiritual gifts. Those spiritual gifts are not for you. God has given you those spiritual gifts, the scripture is clear, to use to build up the body. To build up the body. So when you come to corporate worship and serve, you're engaging those spiritual gifts. Not only are you being blessed, but you're building up others. You're building up the body of Christ by using those gifts, and you're ministering to other people. And you do that in the context of local church. Can you do that elsewhere? Yes, you can. Sure, yeah, you can. I mean, I'm not saying you're limited to use of spiritual gifts in corporate worship or Sunday morning, but I'm saying this provides one of those opportunities, big opportunities to come, to serve, to use your spiritual gifts. God's given me the gift of teaching, right, of preaching. That gift is not for me. I'm to use that gift to build others up. And the gifts that God has given you, spiritual gifts, are not just for you. It's for you to use to build others up. You do that through serving, I think, in local church. Finding places to serve here at Grace Point, which, you know, we're about that. We're about it. Out here, there's a place you can go to, a connection table just to the left. Got the serve cards, and you can engage if you're a member of where does God want me to use. So, and then when you connect with serving, it draws you here every Sunday. It's another way. You're coming to use the gifts that God's given you. Let me give you takeaway number two. Takeaway number two, don't give yourself a pass on weekly worship. Make it a habit. Make it a habit now. Don't give yourself a pass. Make it a habit today. So, Brother Joe, this dude, I shared this once. It's been a while back. Brother Joe, it was below zero. The wind chill was like 50 below. Starting to snow, and the snow was forecast for the rest of the day, and it was just starting, and pastor is opening up the church, and he's thinking, man, nobody's going to come today. Nobody's going to come today. This weather is crazy. And he sits down in the lobby with his cup of coffee, and 93-year-old Brother Joe walked in. Pastor said, Joe, what are you doing? I cannot believe you feel how cold it is. You saw the weather forecast. You know what's coming. I can't believe you looked at all that this morning and then decided to come to church. And 93-year-old Brother Joe said, Pastor, I didn't decide this morning. I decided 73 years ago when I got saved that every Sunday morning, God willing, I would be in His house. Don't forsake assembling together, has been the habit of some, but encouraging one another all the more as you see the day drawing near. Let's pray together. Will you pray with me? Let's stand and pray together and just be thankful, Lord, for your word. You do, Lord. You show us the way so we can walk in, and it leads to everlasting life and abundant life. And so I pray, God, that this morning you'll take the words that I shared and you will do what only you can do, and you will draw us to you, and you will press in where we need to be pressed in, and you will draw out where you need to draw out. Come alongside all of us. We know you do, Father. Thank you for your faithfulness. I thank you for the people, for these people here this morning, Lord. May you bless them for their faithfulness, God. May you continue to grow Grace Point Church in the knowledge of your word, that we can be doers of your word. And we do it for the glory of your name, to point people to you. Everything we're doing, Lord, Vacation Bible School, to point 300 plus children right to you, say, this is Jesus. Every single part of it. Everything that's on this stage and all the decorations is to capture the attention of those kids and then point them right to you, Lord. So I pray that we will embrace the truth of your word today and walk well, to be doers of your word. In Jesus' name we pray. So with our heads bowed and our eyes closed, let me just say, my friend, if you're here this morning, maybe you've never surrendered your life to Christ, but God's drawing you to Him today. You've never prayed and repented of your sins and asked Jesus to be Lord and Savior. We welcome you. We invite you to come. I'll be right down here at the front. There'll be others, staff and elders also, but come to any one of us. We'll lead you in that prayer of salvation gladly and with excitement to lead you in that prayer for you to surrender your life to Christ. There may be other things that are on your heart and you want us to pray with you about that. As your pastors and elders, we're here for that also. Or maybe you want to come to the altar and pray, or maybe just where you're standing, however the Lord leads you. Let's just continue. Let's just continue to worship Him this morning.